today we're here to talk about some serious stuff, the ministry that we did while we were down there, because we had an incredible time of ministry. Us four went down there. We partnered up with a church that's only 9 months old, but I'm telling you, they're growing at a fast rate. They have a good message. They have good values behind their church. They believe all the same stuff we do. So when we came down there, we're just adding to them, bringing the empowerment message to them, bringing the baptism of the Holy Spirit to them, and they're just going to go crazy with it. We know that's what's going to happen. Well, we went down there, me, Parker, Wesley, and Harry, and the whole time we were there, we stayed with the family, who's the pastor. This family runs the church. The father of the family is the pastor. The sons are all super involved in the church. They're the youth pastors, the worship leaders. They do all the technical stuff. But they are in a big position of influence in Trujillo, Peru. Their church is right in the middle of the city, and they meet in a movie theater. Now, get this. We go out on outreach during the days, and the people who we go see, they're so close to the church, they can just walk to the church because everything's right around that area. And Trujillo's 2 million people, so there's a lot of people for them to reach. So we're not going down there, we're not doing all the ministry, but we're going down there. We're leaving something with them, leaving the empowerment message with the group down there, and they're going to go out in the streets and do something with it. So we're excited not only for this message today, what we've heard, what's already happened down there, but we're excited to hear what's going to keep on happening. And to get us started off, we're going to have Wesley Kennedy come up here to the front, and he's going to give us some facts from the trip.
So I've been told to deliver the numbers. So if you will all open your Bibles to Numbers chapter 1, I'm just kidding. We led the Peruvians on, they led us. They were speaking Spanish and we weren't. So we went out on 4 days of outreach. And over those 4 days at local universities, restaurants, wherever we could go, they led 170 people to the Lord. So we prayed with 170 people over those 4 days. We had 11 nights of meetings at the pastor's house where we would have groups from 20 to 40 people show up, and we would talk about empowerment and stuff like that. And during these nights, we would do some ministry, and we had 30 people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Over 25 people were healed of physical and emotional problems during these meetings. I think we made 12 to 15 girls cry. We were keeping a tally. I don't know. We were praying for them, I promise. We went to local hospitals, too. And we prayed with over 40 people there. We prayed with some people to be saved there. We prayed for families. We prayed for sick people. We just did what we do. We did 20 hours of flying to get there and back. We recorded 306 gigabytes of video. That's 15 and a half hours of video. So it's going to be really good to go back and watch. And we'll put that together. We'll do some of that. We took 217 selfies with our new friends. If you're on Facebook, I'm sure you saw some of those. I promise you we did ministry. Promise you. We also were forced to attend 2 surprise birthday parties for people who we didn't really know. Had a lot of fun there. We seemed to be the entertainment. We were forced to dance. I can't dance. So it was fun for everybody. And here we come down to our last number. We used countless rolls of toilet paper. And now I'll pass it off to Parker, who surely has something better to say.
All right. I see he's already got the crowd going, so that's good. I'm being honest with y'all, I can't speak without a Spanish translator, so if there's anybody out there that can come up here. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so I'm going to start it off. I guess I'm supposed to tell some stories. So I'm going to try to stay off the notes, but I might get into them. Well, all right, so me and Harry got there 3 weeks ago, and, you know, we met with the family. They're awesome. So we go out. We went to the hospitals, as Wesley was saying, and there was one encounter we had, which was really wild. We got it on video, but so this is the last time we went to the hospital before we left, and we had just got done praying. We went through, you know, it's pretty rough. It's a government hospital. It's not very, you know, clean. There's a lot of rough-looking people, but God's moving there. People got saved. Parents got saved. There's a lot of kids that were, you know, going through some stuff, so the parents got saved. But anyways, while we're walking out, the guard had already told us we were supposed to leave because the visiting hours were over. So we're walking out, we come into this room, and it's like the people waiting for babies, right? Okay, so people are waiting for babies to be born. I'm telling y'all, I'm kind of not here right now. All right, so people were waiting for babies to be born. And so there's maybe 20 people in here. So the pastor wants us to talk to them. So Grayson starts talking to this huge row of people. I'm pretty sure all of them were saved. So they were, you know, we just prayed with them, prayed for all their kids. They named like maybe 50 names. We didn't know all the names. So Grayson tried to do all the names, but he only got about four of them. So we just prayed with them. Well, anyways, there's a couple to the right side of the room. So I go over, I start talking to them. This is after we had talked to the big group. Well, I'm trying to share the gospel with these people. They're not saved. The guy, he's just, you know, he's sad. He doesn't look real happy with life, so he needs the gospel, right? So I'm sharing with him with a translator. Everybody had already gotten out of the room. Me and Wesley are in there. And the security guard comes up. She starts saying all kinds of stuff to me. I don't know what she's saying. I don't understand Spanish. So I'm just looking at her. And I asked my translator, like, well, you know, what's she saying? She's like, you know, we're supposed to be out of here. We're supposed to leave. So I'm just standing there looking at her. You know, I want to share the gospel with these people. And all of a sudden, everybody that we had just prayed with before starts yelling at the security guard. And this little old lady comes up to her, and she's like pointing her finger at her. And I'm like, what are they saying? What are they saying? And they're like, you know, they want y'all to stay and share the gospel with these people. And so, all the people we had just prayed for defended us. So I got 2 minutes, ended up sharing the gospel with this couple. They both got saved, which is amazing. Praise God. Amen. So that was a cool story. So we'll see that in the video. We got footage of that. Well, in one of the meetings, we were speaking about healing. And one of the girls had brought three of her friends. And two of them were brother and sister. Well, so we finished speaking. Ask if there's anybody sick, and she comes up. She has scoliosis, and so she can probably bend down about this far. Well, anyways, we pray for her, and she gets healed completely. Bends all the way down, touches her toes. She's amazed. Everybody's going crazy. I'm going crazy. I was probably crying. I don't know, but it was just awesome. And so, but neither one of them were saved. They ended up getting saved. The next Sunday, the brother comes without the sister. I guess the sister was out of town. The brother comes, and he brings his friends. And he asked, you know, he wanted to hang out with us. He wanted to come to more meetings. He ended up coming to I'm pretty sure, almost every other meeting, and he would bring, like, three of his friends every time, which is awesome. And so one of the nights, maybe a few nights before we left, we just let loose. And... Not that way. All right, we let loose, and you know, the Holy Spirit was really good. I mean, the presence was tangible, and people left there. I don't know if y'all are on Facebook, but I can't understand what they're saying. But I had a translator translate some of it, and everybody's like, you know, we felt the presence of God tonight, and we've never done that before. You know, people were forever changed, and so that was, I mean. I think maybe 20 people got filled with the Spirit in that one night. I mean, it was amazing. And so, I'm going to go back to the notes, see if I got any more. I'm telling y'all. All right. Okay, this is cool. All right, so we're the first night that we introduced, you know, the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit, five girls were there, and they all five of them got filled with the Spirit, okay? So after that, we go to the park. It's maybe 10 or 11 o'clock. We go to the park. We're throwing football, frisbee. And people show up out of nowhere. I mean, you can ask the guys. We'll just be playing, and people will just walk up that we know. Like, and it's a huge city, which is crazy. So it turns out that four guys come up that are in our meetings, and all four of them end up getting filled in this with the Spirit in the park at like 11 o'clock at night. And so we got pictures of that, and it was just, I mean, that's how it worked. Everywhere we were, you know, we just remember our mission, and we empower people, and what better way to empower people than baptism in the Holy Spirit? So, on Thursday night, before we left, the night where, you know, one of the nights where people could tangibly feel the presence of God, after that, we had left. We were on the way to Annie's house, and she was cooking us dinner for, you know, for us to leave. We ended up seeing her a few more times before we left. That's how it worked. But anyways, we're on the way there. I'm riding with this guy, Marco. He speaks English. He's a lawyer, and he's a cool guy. Well, anyways, he was telling me that before he got there that night, he wasn't even planning on coming. Because he had a rough day, a lot of stuff going on in his house, just really depressed. And he was like, you know, I just need to go out. Well, anyways, he ended up coming to the meeting. And he said, I'm going to go to the meeting, but I'm not going to pray. I mean, I'll go to the meeting, but I'm not going to pray. All right? So it turns out he ends up praying because, you know, we ended up praying for a whole lot of people. This is when everybody was crying. And people are crying. Well, anyways, Marco, he starts praying. And he had just got filled with the Spirit about two nights ago. So, you know, he was praying in tongues. Peace came over him. Well, after everything, he told me, he was like, man, I just feel at peace now. Like, you know, which is amazing. I mean, this is what's happening there. Because people, they're 20-something years old. What do they do here? They go out and party. That's what people do. Well, this guy, you know, just from the empowerment that's come, he ends up coming to the meeting. And it totally changes his whole day, which is, I mean, praise God. You know, now he knows where the peace is. It's not out in the party. And so just a lot of stuff like that happened. We ended up that night, after we're praying for everybody, us four guys, we're standing at the back, and everybody's praying for each other. And we're like, this is how it's supposed to be. This is what we came to do. I mean, look at us. Where are we? We're back in the States, and everybody's still praying for each other. I mean, that's how it works, guys. That's what it's about. So, there's so many more stories, but I'm not supposed to talk for very long. So I'm going to end it with this, but everybody that we came in contact with, you know, we shared the gospel, and so many people got filled with the Spirit. And it was really an amazing time of ministry. Now, we're back, but we're not the same people. It's almost like, I don't know if y'all seen the movie Matrix, but there's two pills. There's a red pill and a blue pill, okay? And the blue pill, you'll be the same. You'll wake up, you know, nothing will change. Everything will look the same. The red pill, you'll see everything different, how it's really happening. Well, we took the red pill, guys. Now, we took the red pill, and we're changed forever. And, you know, it's hard to come in contact with people now without sharing the gospel and empowering people. And we ignited a flame down in Peru that, praise God, will continue while we're gone. And the whole nation of Peru will be changed. And so we just want to thank you guys for all your support and your prayers. And that's all I got to say right now.
Check. Is this on? Testing. Muy bien. Yeah, Parker, he took a lot of those red pills. A lot more than the rest of us. We had an exciting time. It was really awesome. Once again, we thank everybody who supported financially, the bake sale, the prayers, everything. You guys are so encouraging. This is the best best place to leave from and the best place to come back to. And so today I want to talk about, I'm not going to tell too many stories because we're going to put together video. And, you know, right before we left, we got in charge of a 13 session TV show. And so we got to have something for that. So y'all can watch all that. But today I want to talk about the other brother. I'm going to talk about giving life. I want to talk about God pleading through us. All right, I'm going to say a lot, and you just retain it and believe. I've been speaking with a translator, and so you can only say so much, right? And you use simple sentences and broken English. And so today I get to just talk freely, and so it might be a little crazy. It might be a little wild. But we're going to go to a story today that I love. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It's the story of the prodigal son. Hopefully everyone in here knows it. It's my favorite story to share with sinners because it's the gospel. It's what God did for us. And so let's turn there to Luke 15. If y'all are awake back there. Luke 15. And I had thought I was going to share this message in Peru, but it just didn't work out. And so I believe that God was showing me stuff even before I went, maybe just to share today. Praise God. That's how it works. He's a good God. It was amazing. Every single night we spoke, it was the right thing. All right? And I wish I could say it was us, but it wasn't. It was the Holy Spirit. Want us to talk on healing? Well, the girl with scoliosis shows up, gets healed. Want us to talk about doing the works of Jesus? My goodness, I'm talking about doing the works of Jesus. I'm thinking I'm making no sense whatsoever. I say, all right, who wants to be healed? All right, 15 people walk up, and I'm just like, what? And that's how God is when we learn to yield and work with Him. He works things out for us. So Luke 15, we're going to start in verse 11. Story of the prodigal. And it says, then he said, a certain man, this is Jesus talking, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. Let's stop right here. I've often read this story and read it in the context that the father gives the younger son his inheritance. I often haven't seen this, so it says he gave to them his livelihood. So both of the brothers, they both received their portion. We'll get back to that. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. So the prodigal son, he's in a tough spot right now, all right? He's so desperate that he's willing to eat the food that he's feeding the pigs, all right? None of us have been in that point, I hope. But this is where he's at. He's squandered his inheritance. He's given it up on filthy, riotous living, all right? He's just wasted it. Everything that the father gave him, wasted it. So he comes to his senses, and he says, he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he comes up with this incredible plan. He's going to go back and ask his father just to reinstate him as a servant. And he's just going to serve his father, serve his dad. He's a son. He left home. He's going to come back, and now he's going to be a servant. He's going to serve the father. He's going to do whatever the father needs. Probably not live in the same house as the father. Work in the fields. Whatever he's got to do, he's going to do it. Why? Because he wants to be back home. Right, that's the whole reason. He wants to be back home. He realizes how good it is at home. Realizes how great it was with the father. And we've all been there. We get away from God and we realize how great God is. A lot of times we take it for granted until you get away from it. So when you come back, my goodness. And so it says he rose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. Thank God the father had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. All right. This is the story of us with the father coming back to him. And it says, and the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Let's take a second here. This is very silly for him to say to the Father, because he was never worthy in the first place to be called a son. You know, how silly would it be for me, you know? I'm turning 19 in February, and so my 19th birthday, I wake up and, you know, come to my parents, we're eating breakfast, and, you know, guys, today I feel I'm worthy to be called your son, you know? These last 19 years, you know, I've done some bad stuff, I've done stupid stuff, but I feel like today I am now worthy. And so I know you guys said that by faith a while back, but today I've earned it and I am your son. You guys see how silly this looks. You know, today I earned the last name Judd, all right? And in times past, you know, maybe not so much, but today I am worthy to be called Harry Judd. All right, so this is his plan, and you understand how foolish it sounds. He's out sinning, living it up. He comes back and he says, Father, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And the Father's got to be thinking, you were never worthy. All right? Because you're not worthy by your works. You're worthy by your birth. Our worth is tied to our birth. And when we're born into the family of God, it's no longer about us. It's no longer about our works or our good deeds or our own worthiness. It's about the worthiness that Jesus had. And he laid down his worthiness at the cross so that we could be right. See, I couldn't do that in Peru. I couldn't do that. It just didn't work. All right, so the story, it gets better. All right. Thank God the story didn't just end there. And a lot of Christians believe that the story ends there. They live their life where they come back to the Father, I'm no longer worthy, and it ends right there. All right. But I'm going to tell you, the story, it only gets better, because the Father, he restores the son. He says, the Father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. We're having a party. For this my son was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost, and he's found, and they began to be merry. Praise God, it didn't just end with him no longer worthy to be his son. It ended with him being restored, and there was a party. The Peruvians, they taught us how to party, guys. I got to tell you, a Peruvian party is exciting. And then this was a Peruvian party and the Father was throwing. All right, it went all night long. The music, I mean, it was wild, all right? Because the son had come home, he was lost and he was found, all right? So we all know this part of the story. We know this much. And the part I want to focus on today is what happens after this. It says, now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So the older son, he's out in the field. He's not in the house. This communicates there's a distance between him and the father. All right. He's out in the fields. What does that mean? He's working. All right. He's working. And this is how a lot of Christians are. We're working for the father. He's out in the fields. Heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. I can't imagine this. If I come home and there's a party going on in my house, I'm going to go in there and see what's going on. I'm not going to go ask my neighbor, do you know what's going on over there? I mean, you know what I mean? This shows that something is obviously not right between the relationship between the father and the older son. Something is wrong. And he said, and so the servant says, your brother has come, and because your father has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. All right, this is the older brother now. But he was angry, and he would not go in. He was being a baby. All right, he was upset. Grace and I, that's what we used to call each other. When one of us, when we were younger, we'd start crying, quit being a baby. And he would say it to me, and I'd say it to him. But the older brother, he's being a baby. In our family, the older brother was never a baby. It was the younger. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. Now, once again, this story, it just like, it befuddles me. Because I'm an older brother, and I know Grayson's my best friend. He's the love of my life. I'm just kidding. He's my best friend. And if he left and ran off and was being stupid, I can tell you I would be pleading with my father. We got to get him back. It would never be the other way around. It would never be my dad having to come and plead with me to get him back. But you see how twisted it is? You see how far off the older brother is? He's so caught up, so wrapped up in selfishness, so wrapped up in his works.
Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him, and so he answers and said to the father, lo, these many years I've been serving you. He pulls out his works. I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. What's he saying? I never sinned. I never messed up. I kept it all. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the catted fat. You killed the fatted calf for him. You see this? He says, this son of yours, he's not even his brother anymore. This son of yours, all right, so he's completely separated. He's completely separated himself from the brother. And it's because he's so caught up in his own self. It's all selfishness. All right, his eyes are on himself. He's upset that the party's never been thrown for him. All right, he's upset. And so let's see what the father says. The father says, he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he's found. This sentence, son, you're always with me and all that I have is yours. That sentence right there can change your life. Because this is the Father with us. This is God, all right, the creator of everything. He says, you're always with me. All that I have is yours. What is that speaking to? You're always with me. That's talking about relationship. It's talking about fellowship. You're always with me. That means we communicate. That means we interact. We eat together. We work together. Not me working for him. We work together. This is relationship. This speaks to righteousness. And righteousness is our position with God. We have peace with God, not because of ourselves, not because of our own worthiness. We have peace with God because of what Jesus did on the cross. And so this really, what I'm going to take it to, this is all about identity. You're always with me is all about identity, that I am the Father's Son, and I'm always with Him. He's always with me. He never leaves me nor forsake me. Wherever I go, the Father's in me, and He's with me, working with me. That's what happened when we went down to Peru. I didn't go down as Harry Judd. I went down as Jesus, and I just let Jesus walk around Peru. I just let Jesus flow through me, all right, because that's my identity. That's my identity. And then he says, and everything I have is yours. What is that? That's the inheritance. We have our identity in Christ and we have an inheritance, and it's a glorious one. It's filled with peace and love and joy. We think of inheritance as money. We think of it as in stuff, but it's not. All right. The inheritance that we have in God is that your soul is secure in God, that you have peace. You know the Father's love. When we went down there, that's what we shared with people. We didn't share some other message. We just shared peace with people. Because when I have peace with God, I can share that where I go. You can't share what you don't got. And this is the problem. This is why the older brother wasn't able to love the younger brother when he came home. Is because he had wasted his inheritance. And we read the story and we're like, the prodigal wasted his inheritance. No. They both did. They both did. Yeah, the prodigal gave it up and it was a little bit more flashy. All right. He went out with a bang. All right. This is how Grayson would waste his inheritance. It's how the prodigal did. But the older brother, he wasted it too, because what he did is he laid down that inheritance and said, I'm going to work for the Father's approval. I'm going to work for what the Father's already given me. And how many times have we done that? How many times? How many churches are meeting today begging people to do that? Just work a little more, do a little more to receive what you already got. It's crazy. It's loco. And so, I guess what I'm saying today is that we have to be so rooted and founded in our identity and have such a revelation of our inheritance in Christ so that we can be effective life givers. I want to read a scripture in Philemon. Philemon 1:6. And let's just read that. This scripture is all about identity and inheritance. I'll show it to you. You guys got that? Put that up there on the screen. That the sharing of your faith, what is this? This is talking about giving life. That your giving life may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. No, go back. The acknowledgement of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. What does that speak to? Every good thing, that's your inheritance. It's in you in Christ Jesus. That's identity. You're in Christ Jesus. You see that identity, inheritance, all in that scripture. And it's saying that your giving life would become affected when you acknowledge who you are and what you have. Because you can never, like I said, you can't give what you have. And you can't restore people to a position that you're not already at. You understand? I was asking God about this story because Luke 15, there's three stories in it. There's a story of the sheep. And so the one sheep leaves the 100 or the 99, and the shepherd goes out and he gets them. And all the sheep has to do is be picked up, and the shepherd puts them on his shoulder. That's an image of Jesus. He puts this on his shoulder. And so he's restored, and the whole town is so excited for the one. And then there's the story of the woman with the lost coin. She searches the whole house. She's got 10, she loses one, searches the whole house for it, she finds it, she's so excited. And so these are really stories about us when we come back to God. That's how the Father sees us, he's so excited, heaven's throwing a party. I like to tell people out on the streets that heaven's throwing a party, the angels, they're breakdancing for you. You know, Peter and John, they're doing their little rap for you. You guys ever seen that video on YouTube? And that's what's going on. But in this story, it's different because there was nobody in this story that sought out the Son, that seeked the Son. There's nobody that sought the Son, all right? It didn't happen. And so either Jesus, he messed up the stories, or somebody in the translation, it got lost, or it's like this for a reason. Maybe there's something going on here. So that's in God, you know. Why is it different? Because there's the shepherd, he seeks the sheep. The woman, she seeks the coin. But nobody goes back for the Son. He comes on his own. And God said this to me. The only person in that story who could have went after the Son was the older brother. He's the only person. The Father couldn't, because if the Father did, he would be violating the authority he gave to his Son. The servant couldn't, because the servant wasn't even in the house. None of the servants could, because they didn't have a relationship with the Father. So they could restore the Son to servitude, to being a servant, but they couldn't make him a son again. The only person who could come back and say the Father misses you, he loves you, he wants you to be his son again, is the older brother. But what happened? The older brother didn't. He was so consumed in his own problems and his own selfishness that he didn't. In the same way, you and I are the only ones who can restore a lost and broken humanity. We're the only ones who can go out and seek to save the lost. People think it's God's job, that God's just going to work it out. When we get into that, we get into some crazy Calvinistic stuff. That God is the one picking and choosing who's saved. That he's the one who's decided. That he's the only one who can do anything. My Bible says that Jesus gave us the ministry to do this. He's the one who made us ambassadors. And so you and I are the older brother in this story. And I pray that we aren't like the older brother. I pray that all of us would be the ones to go out and grab the son, tell him, come on home, dad's waiting. He's sitting on the front porch waiting. He's in his rocking chair. He's waiting for you to come back home. That's who I want to be. Isn't that who you want to be? But when we don't have it down, our identity and our inheritance, we end up like the older brother. And this is the problem with the church for the past 2,000 years, is we have never known who we are and we've never known what we had. We've gone to war about it. We've tried to convince the world that we're right and they're wrong. But this is not our job, guys. Our job is found in 2 Corinthians 5. Let's put that up there. This is possibly one of the greatest verses ever written, because this verse is all about you and I, and it's all about what has happened in us. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. That's me and you today. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Everything's become new. Nothing is dead anymore. It's all alive. That's us, guys. We're fully alive to God. We're dead to sin, fully alive. All things are new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, this is what I want to get to. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. This is the older brother. This is what he was supposed to be doing. Be reconciled to God. Come back to the house. Come back to the family. God, look what he did, man. He gave you everything. You wasted it. But he wants you home because he loves you. He wants you back. This is what we're doing, is when we go out, we say, God's not mad at you. He loves you, man. And this is how much he loves you. He sent Jesus for you. And Jesus, he was bruised and he was beaten and it was just destroyed on a cross. And it says in 21, it says, for he made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. Jesus literally became sin on that cross so that we could become something. And what is that? That we would become the righteousness of God in him. That's us. We are literally the righteousness of God. We are sons and daughters of God. We are right with the Father. It says righteousness produces peace. We've got peace with the Father. It says the whole kingdom is built upon righteousness. Everything, all that God has created is literally, it's all rooted in the fact that we're right with Him. Yes. If you weren't right with Him, you couldn't receive nothing. But because you are, it's all for you. Be reconciled to God. This is what we tell people. I looked up this word plead, because it's interesting. The Father says that He came out and pleaded with the older brother. In this 2 Corinthians 5, it says we're supposed to be pleading God through us. This word plead means to offer up evidence that stands up in God's court. Offer up evidence that stands up in God's court. When we're out talking to people, we're offering up evidence. We're not giving our own opinion. We're not just giving some philosophy that it's good, it makes you feel good. We're offering up evidence. And what is that evidence? It's the cross and it's the resurrection. That Jesus died for you and that He rose for you. And that's the evidence that God loves you and that you've been restored. All right, if that hadn't happened, we wouldn't have much good evidence. But since that did happen, that's all the evidence we have to give people. Sometimes we think we have to prove the whole Bible to people. Sometimes we think that we have to convince people about creation, that we have to convince people that's a heaven, that there's a heaven, there's a hell, that we have to convince people that sin is bad and this stuff. All you have to convince people of is that Jesus came and He died and He's alive today. That's all you got to convince people. And so that's what we plead through people. Plead with people. God through us. Be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to the Father. He's waiting for you. Come on home. We're not pleading with people that they are wrong. We're not convincing people that we're right. We're not pleading about our opinions. We're pleading with the truth of the cross. I met a guy on the plane back. All right, so at this point, we are flat out exhausted. And it's midnight, and we're getting on this plane. We're in Lima. And we had met this guy in the line checking our bags. And, you know, we hadn't spoken much English. And so we meet a guy who speaks English, and it's great, right? The only problem is this guy cusses every other word. But I'm just so excited to speak English. I'll just put up with it. No. It reminded me of people I just graduated school from. It was just like, it just seemed like that. And he was dressed, excuse my language, like a thug. No, I mean, he did not look like he belonged down there. He did not look like he fit in. In fact, he told me, you don't know how much trouble I've been in getting on planes and stuff. It's been so difficult for me. And so we saw him in line, and then I get in my seat in the airplane. And, you know, we're sitting, there's two, the three, they're all in the middle on the three, and I'm by myself. And I've got my empty seat, and I'm just waiting. Who's coming? Who's coming? And I just see this guy, and the guy we talked to in the line, and he just comes, sits down next to me. And once again, it's midnight, and I'm exhausted, and I don't want to talk to people, all right? Ministry is over. We are on the plane, and it's done, all right? I need my sleep. That is what is important right now, all right? This whole reconciliation thing, we can just, you know, wait till I get some sleep. So he gets on the plane, and of course this guy, he just loves to talk. I mean, just my luck, just when I want to go to sleep. Of course the three others, they're just over there dozing. And I'm just there talking to this guy. And he's 34 years old, he's going back to Canada. He's down in Peru, visiting his cousin and his family down there for a week. And this guy, my goodness, what a heart he has for the world. And he just doesn't know it. And he began to tell me all this stuff. At one point, he was telling me, you know, like, he said, I like traveling, I like this. And then he was complaining about government, complaining all this stuff. And I told him, I said this to him, I was like, so you're telling me that you just really love people. So he kind of sits there and he's like, yeah, I guess. He's like, I never really thought about it. Because the guy's talking about, all the stuff he did for his cousin, all the stuff. And I'm saying, so you really love people. That's what you're telling me. And he's like, yeah, yeah. And then the guy just begins to open up. He just begins to pour out his whole life. Tells me about his kids. Tells me about his family, the problems he has. He works every night. All just the stuff. And then he's like, you know, I don't know why I'm telling you this. You know, at this point, it's 1 a.m. And I'm delirious. And then he's asking me, what are you guys doing down here? And I told him, oh, we're missionaries. And we're down here, you know, we're ministering to this family, working with the church. And he said this, and I won't repeat it like he said it, but you can figure it out. He says, he's like, that's great, man. He's like, the kids down here, they really need that. The kids down here, they really need that. All right, that's what he told me. And I was like, man, this guy gets it. He's not saved. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But he's right. They do need it. We all need it. Some of us more than others. And so then he just begins to tell me. He's like, you know, the only way the world will ever change is when we get to the kids and we get to the young people. And this guy, I'm like, who is he? He's like over here just, I mean, he's all misshaven, just weird looking. And he's just like a philosopher, right? Then I begin to tell him about Jesus. I begin to tell him, hey man, he was saying, you know, I studied this religion, I did this, and I was a Catholic when I was young, and, you know, he said, I was too smart for my own good. I started studying religions, and it got me in a lot of trouble. And then he was like saying stuff, you know, you need to start studying religions, and you wouldn't be like you are if you studied more and all this stuff. But at the same time, he's trying to compliment me. And so, I just tell him, I was like, man, I don't know what you're talking about religions. This is what I know. I said, I know that I have peace with God, that God loves me. And you're talking about you're trying to do good and you wish the world could do good. And I said, man, I know I can never be good. But what's so amazing is God, He enables me to do good. He enables me. And I was like, man, I know that God loves me and I have peace in that. And I know that He gave up Jesus for me. It's not about religion. This is a relationship, man. And he's just over there like, yeah, yeah. You know, a couple cuss words. And I'm, you know, I'm talking to this guy 2 a.m. And then, you know, I'm just sharing my heart, everything that we've been sharing with this guy. I start telling this guy miracle stories, right? I mean, I'm just going for it. You know, I'm never going to see him again. I tell him the Vinny store. I said, man, this guy was an atheist. And in a moment's time, God met him and changed his life. I was like, what's the deal with that? What happened there? And he's just like, I don't know, man. And I tell him, you know, we're down here working miracles. Man, we're doing this and we've seen that and that. And the guy was just, he was just astounded. All right. He wasn't ready. He wasn't ready to receive. But in that moment, I was pleading with this guy, come back to God, be reconciled. And a lot of times we think we have to go out and get people saved. We have to go out and make something happen. But giving life is all about just letting people know that they're reconciled to God. And the Holy Spirit will lead you past that. All right. Don't go into situations thinking I got to do this or this has got to happen. Because when you do that, you take out God out of that. And this is what happened with this guy. I was just sharing what the Holy Spirit was giving me and he was changing. Wheels were turning. We get off the plane, I might not ever see that guy again. But while I had him, while he was captivated, while we were both in those seats together, I told him the gospel. And this is what it's all about. Wherever we are, wherever we go, whoever we're in contact with, because we're sons and daughters, we now have a responsibility to share about how good our God is. And I, myself, be honest, you know, it's so easy to go on these trips and just be wild and to, you know, pray with the waitress and do that. And then you get in your everyday life and it gets much more difficult. But my goal is, and I hope that this is where all of us are at today, this is Good News Church, is that we would all strive that every day, everywhere we go, everything we do, that our goal would be to give life. That everything, every interaction we have, as the Holy Spirit leads, we're given life. Because this is what it's all about. We can make life about a lot of things, but I'm telling you, it's all about this. It's all about people knowing God and entering into that relationship. It's about them knowing God here, and then when they die, they know God in heaven. And we just have to share it with people. People are open. My gosh, people are open. This guy is saying, look how messed up the world is. And I'm telling him, hey man, there's good going on in the world. You just don't hear about it. That's what I said to him. I said, I've seen great stuff going on. And I was like, you get so caught up in the news, you get so caught up in all this that you forget about that there is good going on in the world. God is still reconciling people, and people are still being touched. And it's happening through believers like me and you. It's not pastors. It's not evangelists. It's not them that are supposed to be doing this job. It's you and I. And so today, I just invite you, just remind you, I know you guys know all this stuff. I just invite you to enter into that. Commit yourself to it again. Commit yourself to it every day, because this is what it's all about. We can get so caught up. Thanksgiving, we can get caught up in eating. But is that Thanksgiving's all about? Christmas, we can get caught up with gifts. Is that what Christmas is all about? I mean, it happens with everything. We can get our eyes on something else. But we take our eyes off ourselves, we get our eyes on the harvest, we get our eyes on people, on the kingdom, and then we respond like a son, we respond like a daughter. And that's when we see amazing things. And the most fulfilling thing that'll ever take place in your life is being a life giver. Bottom line, you can try a lot of things, you can do a lot of things. The only thing that'll ever fulfill you is you being who you're created to be. And that's an ambassador for Christ. And so today, I want to invite, if you've never come back to God's family, if you've never been a part of His family in the first place, today's your day. You see, Jesus, He laid down everything for us. He became sin so that we could become right with God. He gave us peace with God. And He did it all because of love. All right? God loves us all so much. And that's why Jesus came. And Jesus, He showed us how good God is, that God's got good for us. He loves us. He's got a good plan for us. And so today, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you don't know you're going to heaven, today is your day. And the Bible says all you have to do is believe about Jesus, believe that story, and then say He's your Lord. Make Him your Lord, and you will be saved. You'll be saved from all types of destruction. This world, it's not saved, and you see where it's going. But today we can all rest assured that God is our Father and He's going to take care of us. So I ask that you bow your heads. And if that's you today and you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, if you would just raise your hand, just lift it up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just be bold. Lift your hand up. Thank you, Father. Praise your name, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. Praise your name. All right, everybody stand up. Thank you, Lord. If today, you've never entered into your identity as being a life giver, today is also your day. So I'm just going to pray right here and you just receive it. You say, you make a decision, you draw a line in the sand and say, today I'm going to be the son. I'm not going to be the older brother anymore. Oh, no, I'm going to be like the oldest brother, Jesus, who laid down everything for us. And today I'm going to lay down my life for the kingdom. I'm going to lay down my life for the people around me. So right now, I'm just praying you just receive it. You can lift your hands, whatever you want to do, and just receive it right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you redeemed us, Lord, that you restored us. We thank you, Father, that we have peace with you today, that we're right with you. We thank you for our identity and our inheritance in you. God, that we don't have to work for you, but we get to work alongside you. So right now, I thank you, Lord, for this group of believers. Father, Lord, we commit ourselves to being ambassadors for you, being ministers of reconciliation. That's our job. That's who we are. Lord, we throw aside every other call. We throw aside everything else. We abandon all and follow after the call of being a life giver. And Lord, I thank you for this city. I thank you for this state, this nation. Oh, in this world being saved and being restored to you. And Father, use us in our lives, wherever we go in our worlds, use us to reach the people around us. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't be selfish. I pray that we wouldn't be so concerned with ourselves that we would forget about the people around us. Father, I pray that we would be kingdom-minded and focused on the home, people coming back home. We thank you for it today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, in Peru, like we talked about a lot, we just help people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I know that there are people in here who haven't done that before, and you say, what is it about? Well, Grayson's going to come and tell you what it's about. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is all a part of this inheritance. It's all a part of this inheritance. And I have you guys sit down. Y'all can sit down again. All right, now you can stand up. No, I'm just kidding.
Stand up. Yeah, that's really true. You'll never experience your full inheritance in Christ unless you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I mean, picture this. Picture how the disciples felt. Jesus is telling them, hey, guys, I'm gonna die. Then I'm going to rise and I'm going to leave. And you guys are going to be here alone. Now, this is Jesus. Everything that they've seen having to do with God has come through Jesus. Jesus is the one who talks to God. Jesus is the one who lays hands on the sick and sees them recover. Jesus is the one who does everything spiritual, and they're just kind of there tagging along. And they're saying, wait, you're leaving and this is going to be better? That doesn't make any sense. But Jesus knows what's coming. Jesus knows that there's something better in store for them, and it's the Holy Spirit. And in order for the Holy Spirit to come, Jesus had to leave. And basically, when we get saved, when we enter into that relationship with God, the Holy Spirit comes and He lives on the inside of us. He comes and he lives within us. He's in us. God's in us. He's working through us, right? And it talks about this like a river on the inside of you. You know, it fills you up. But then it talks about something after salvation, a fuller experience into your inheritance, right? Something better that God has for you, and it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you want to plead to people to be reconciled to God, this is what you need. This is the tool you need. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what it does is it brings power into your life. It says you're going to be have the power to be a witness when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, right? And it says it comes upon you. So when you're saved, you get filled with the Spirit. But there's an event afterwards where the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you're enabled to be a witness. You're empowered to be a witness. You have boldness to be a witness, which is... You can have boldness. Like, I feel like I'm a bold person. I'm not afraid to go talk to people, but sharing my faith, trying to tell somebody about something that's going to change their life forever, that requires a whole different type of boldness than you're going to have here. It requires supernatural boldness. And that comes from the Holy Spirit. And then the gifts of the Spirit, flowing with the Holy Spirit, having exactly what the people need in that situation, having an exact encounter with God right then and there, that only comes from the Holy Spirit. Right? You can't do that in and of yourself. And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it comes after salvation, and there's two requirements of it, right? You just have to be saved, and you have to want it. It's a desire. We can't want it for you, right? You have to want it. You have to desire it. And this is the real part that people get freaked out about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it's the speaking in tongues. Now, there's been a lot of weird theology about speaking in tongues in the church. People think, oh, the Holy Spirit's taking over my body and I'm shaking and I'm jumping and I'm whatever I'm doing. But that's not what it is. Speaking in tongues is simply the evidence that you're filled with the Spirit, right? So for instance, when we pray with you to be saved, right? You're saved, right? There's nothing that can change about that. Maybe we don't see the evidence immediately. Maybe we don't see some outside evidence. But when we pray for you for healing, a lot of the times you're healed immediately by the God providing for that. Jesus provided for that on the cross. But then we see the evidence right there. You get healed. That's awesome. That's supernatural. That's kind of crazy, right? And it's the same thing with the Holy Spirit, right? We pray for you. You accept the Holy Spirit, right? You receive the gift. And then it's simply the evidence. It's speaking in tongues. And speaking in tongues is incredible. It's really incredible. It's praying the perfect will of God in your life. So it's not something you're going to understand. Because it's funny, in Peru, people are trying to translate it in their heads. And I'm like, you should not be thinking at all when you're speaking in tongues. It's a direct communication from your spirit to God. Direct communication. You're praying about things maybe you don't know about. Maybe you don't know what to pray. But the Spirit's interceding for you. The Spirit's praying through you. And maybe it's for other people. You don't know what it's about, but it's in line with God's will. It's in line with the Word of God. And Parker likes to say this, it reminds us of our righteousness. I know that when I'm speaking in tongues, I know that the Spirit of God is on the inside of me. I know that He's speaking through me, and it reminds me of who I am. It reminds me of who I am. Oh, and it produces peace in our lives. It produces peace, peace. And the world needs peace. We need peace. I need peace. You need peace. We all need peace. But the Holy Spirit's the comforter, right? And when we yield to the Holy Spirit, this what speaking in tongues is yielding to the Holy Spirit. It produces peace in our lives. And it allows us to yield to the Holy Spirit in other situations. I mean, if you yield to the Holy Spirit, if you get used to it, oh, then if somebody needs a word for this right there, you can jump in right there. Oh, the Holy Spirit's saying this to you right now. And you can jump in right on that and give somebody a word or whatever they need in the situation. And so, right now we want to offer this opportunity. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus died and left for us to have. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so it's super simple. You receive it by grace through faith. So you don't earn it. You can't do anything to deserve it. I mean, honestly, if I have it, then you can have it. That should be saying something to you. I don't know, whatever. But we receive it by grace. So it's nothing that we're working up. It's just like salvation. You can never earn it. You can never be good enough. So whatever you're feeling like today, today's the day for you. And you receive it by faith, by wanting, by desire, and it happens. So we're going to, if you'd like to receive that, how should we do this? Should we have people coming to the front? If you'd like to receive that, never been filled with the Spirit, you need it today. You need it today. I'd like to invite you to come down front, and we'll minister to you some more. Does anybody want to take me up on that offer? You need it. 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 Trust me, you need it. Did I say you need it? There we go. Hallelujah. 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 This is exciting. This is exciting. This is what God has for you, right? And this is going to enable you in a whole different way to be a life giver, more than what you've seen in the past. So here's what we're going to do.
Thank you. Let's all stand. Thank you, guys. Anybody else? We got time today. All right, we're on Peruvian time today. That means we could be here until 6. Yeah. You guys lean around. Ask the person next to you on the right or left, do you want to receive this gift? I'll go down there with you. Doesn't have to be weird. Y'all, just ask the people around you. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Thank you, Father. What about you, man? I'll talk to you guys after. Thank you, Lord. All right. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. If there's anything else you need from God right now, you just receive it. You just receive it. We just receive everything from the Father. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for how good you are, Lord, that you love us. Right now, I thank you for provision, Lord. I thank you for healing. I thank you for peace, Lord. Oh, Lord, your blessing's overtaking us right now. I thank you for the inheritance that we have in you. Lord, that wherever we go and whatever we do, Father, Lord, that we would give life. That's our prayer today. That's our desire. And so we step out and be life givers today. Lord, that you would lead us where we should go. You would lead us to the right people. Holy Spirit, we work with you. We flow with you. We flow with you today. We trust in you and your leading, your guidance. And I pray that as we go from this place today, oh, that we would be so conscious, oh, of righteousness. Oh, and we wouldn't be worried about ourselves. Oh, but we would be so caught up in who Jesus is today. I thank you, Lord, that we are
a blessed church, but bless so we can be a blessing wherever we go. We thank you for it today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.